Thank you, Julie and Graham. The Neil and Helen have asked me just to share a few thoughts, a short sermon. We'll see how that goes. I do have a confession to make, that I'm not a morning person, not by a long shot. So why part of this message came to me at 5 o'clock this morning, I have no idea. But anyway, the passage from Colossians, I asked, that was chosen by Neil and Helen, and I asked them a couple of weeks ago, I said, you know, why did you choose this for your wedding day? Because it's not a common scripture reading at a wedding. And, you know, I thought there must be some special significance to them. But no, their reply was, we Googled it. They did go on to explain that they had searched Bible passages suitable for a wedding. And I agree. I agree with Google. You know, this scripture contains some really, really good advice, not just for married couples, but for all of us. You know, all of us should always be doing our best to be compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, patient, forgiving, and loving. And if you listen carefully to the wording of those verses, you'll see that it says that love is the thing that binds all these virtues together. But if you've ever been to another wedding, you've probably heard another scripture read that is very similar to this. And it's a scripture from 1 Corinthians. And for some reason over the years, it has become the go-to scripture for lots and lots of weddings, whether they're Christian weddings or not. And it says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Very similar verses to the one in Colossians, and they were both written by Paul. Now, the thing is that all these virtues that we've just mentioned, they're just words unless we act upon them. For example, and because Neil and Helen are sitting right here, I can pick on them. For example, if Neil says that he's patient with Helen, but he gets annoyed when his tea's not on the table at 6 o'clock every night, is he really being patient? If Helen says that she's forgiving, she's a forgiving person, but she's still angry because Neil bought her a book instead of a gold necklace, is she really being forgiving? See, virtues mean nothing unless we heed their call to action. Every virtue has to have an action. And those actions are often what we call good works. Now, good works are obviously good, and we should all do them. But there is a warning, and there is a downside to good work. Well, not a downside as such, but see, good works by themselves will not get us to heaven. Good works by themselves do not fix our relationship with God. Only believing in Jesus will do that. See, there's a lie out there in the world and in a lot of other religions that says that we earn our way to heaven through doing good works. And we've been conditioned through life that when we do good stuff, we'll get rewarded. Now, you think of little children, you know, when they do jobs around the house, they get pocket money. And then you grow up and you go to work and you do your job and you get paid. And if you do a good job, you'll get a promotion. And they're all good things. Now, I like getting paid. You know, it comes in handy. But there's a lie that has tagged itself to that thinking that says you do good works and you will go to heaven. It's kind of like building a stairway to heaven. You know, good works are your stepping stones up to heaven. But no, it does not work like that. And the Bible says that. See, other religions in the world will sort of have this, you've got to do 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 this, and it's do, 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 to work your way to heaven. But God doesn't say do, do, do. He says done. Our relationship with God isn't based on what we do. It's based on what Jesus has done. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." That means the work necessary for us to come into a relationship with God and to ultimately to go to heaven when we die, it was done by Jesus on the cross. And we all need to hear this. Doesn't whether we're Christians, non-Christians, whether we've been Christians all our lives, whatever. We all need to hear this because we all fall into the trap of doing stuff. You know, got to do this, got to do this, got to do this. And there's a guy named John Mark Comer, who's a pastor of a big church in America. He wrote a book called Curry Sickness. And we all suffer from it. We all find ourselves hurrying, do this, do this, do this. And it's easy to fall into that trap. And especially like in smaller churches where you have a limited number of people to do stuff, it's very easy to find yourself doing lots of stuff. And my wife is looking at me sideways right now. And it's not good. And I say this because I know Neil and Helen do a truckload of work in this church. But God wants us to stop and have our relationship with him. And it's the same in a marriage. Neil and Helen need to stop and have that relationship together with each other. Stop doing stuff. In the Old Testament it says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still. Just sit in the presence of God. But Jesus also said, and it's a scripture that we read just about every Sunday here at church, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And I think it's the Message version of the Bible, "Come to me, everyone who's burnt out on religion, and I will give you rest." Now, it's important in a marriage and it's important in life just to stop and spend time with the one we love. So how do we get that rest? How do we come to that place of rest? How do we stop striving? And I think we have to look at a scripture in Ephesians. In Ephesians 2, it says that "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast." See, if we're trying to work our way to heaven, there's going to be people who are saying, "You know, hey, look at me. You know, I just gave $1 million to that charity or whatever." And you end up, it ends up being about me, 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 me. But we have to look at Jesus. It's by grace that we have been saved through faith, not of ourselves. See, God not only gave us Jesus, but he gives us the faith to believe in Jesus. And that faith in Jesus is what gets us into a right relationship with God and ultimately to heaven. All we have to do is accept that gift of believing in Jesus that he offers us. And you have to ask, well, why did God go to all that bother? Because the Bible says that we're all sinners. Now, if we're all sinners, why did God go to all that bother? Because he loves us. and he wants the best for us. And just about every sermon I preach in this church, I seem to always end up with this verse where Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. That shows how much that God loves us. See, we're here today celebrating Neil and Helen's love for each other. But every day we should be celebrating how much God loves us. And I think it would be good every day when we just need to take time and stop and be still and know that God, and be still and know that God loves us and cares for us. You know, stop getting caught up in all the works and everything. Good works are good, but they need to come from that place of rest, of knowing that, knowing our place in Jesus, knowing that how much he loves us and cares for us. Because then all those good works of loving people and everything, we're not striving. They will come out of God's love for us. You know, God loved us so that we can love other people. And we need to do that. And I'll just leave it there. Because shortly we're going to sing our next song, which is Something Beautiful. And it's just a simple one-verse song, but it means a lot, because sometimes we can come into church and we think, well, I don't know if God loves us. I don't know if God loves me, because I've stuffed up. You know, and we all have days like that. We think, I've messed up. But God will take us where we are. We just have to accept his invitation into that relationship with him. You know, the words of that song, something beautiful, something good, all my confusion he understood. You know, God understands where we're at. We just have to give him the opportunity to come into our lives and change us and help us to stop striving. Amen. I